Let me officially welcome all of you on behalf of the U.S. Grains Council to this conference. We're very pleased to again be partnering with BBI International in organizing this conference this year. And I'm sure you're already seeing that BBI does a terrific job of organizing the conference logistics. And Dan Keefe, as has been mentioned to the U.S. Grains Council staff, took the lead in developing the conference program and recruiting the speakers. In addition, the U.S. Grains Council is hosting, as you've previously heard, 140 international participants from 36 countries at this conference. And while there are many Distillers Grains conferences and meetings held throughout the world, this one is truly an international conference, bringing together U.S. producers and marketers of distillers grains face-to-face with their export customers. This conference is really a high point in the U.S. Grains Council's multi-year commitment to building export markets for U.S. distillers grains, and this market development effort is an excellent example of the partnership of many groups and individuals on many levels. Thanks to the foresight of our producer members at the Grains Council, we took the first steps in beginning to explore the distillers grains market in 2002. Some of our key producer members alerted us to the opportunities of distillers grain exports. The National Corn Growers Association and state producer groups had been working hard to build the U.S. ethanol industry for many years, and as that industry began to anticipate rapid growth, it became important to build domestic and international demand for distillers grains, the major co-product of grain-based ethanol production. And for those who are uninitiated in this business, the export of distillers grains are dried and are called distillers dried grains with solubles, or DDGS for short. Our focus on DDGS grew rapidly, and in 2006, with the explosion of the U.S. ethanol demand growth, the Council was ready to scale up its efforts. We identified DDGS export promotion as our number one priority. And since 2006, our export market development efforts for DDGS have exceeded $2 million annually. So the U.S. grain producers were our first partners in this effort, and their financial support for DDGS export promotion has provided the foundation of our capacity to do that work. Our agribusiness members have been fully supportive, and over the past 5 years, we have seen nearly 30 ethanol producers and DDGS marketing companies join the U.S. Grains Council and our efforts. But actually, that is only part of the partnership. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has provided significant funding to pay the direct costs of overseas market development. We enjoy the creative support of the U.S. agricultural officers and embassies around the world, and that of the Foreign Agricultural Service staff in Washington, D.C. Without their encouragement and financial support, we could not have done so much so quickly. And our partnerships go even beyond that. The very essence of export market development is the building of international partnerships. We build partnerships with end users, in this case, the nutritionists, the feed mill managers, and poultry and livestock producers who understand the value of using DDGS in their rations. Since 2004, the Council has run dozens of feeding demonstrations from Egypt to Mexico and Vietnam so people can see the performance in their own local conditions. These trials have established the value of DDGS for dairy and beef cattle, broilers, layers, swine, and fish. Council staff and contract nutritionists have met with dozens, maybe hundreds of nutritionists to show them how DDGS fits into their own ration formulation systems. With that knowledge and confidence in the Council, many have tried DDGS for the first time, and most of those maintain close contact with Council staff. One of the best examples of this partnership is a major swine feeding trial taking place this year in Canada. The Council is one of the many partners in this effort led by the Government of Canada to establish the maximum limits of DDGS in swine diets. The results of this trial will be widely disseminated and will give nutritionists confidence to raise DDGS inclusion rates from sometimes nominal percentages to much higher levels. We build partnerships with government officials and regulators so they have confidence in the system, the safety and the quality of the product, and establish reasonable import rules and inspection procedures. We build partnerships with trading companies so that they will recognize and respond to the market opportunities. The U.S. DDGS suppliers have voted with their feet, as I told you earlier, in joining the Grains Council to help move this effort forward. And at this conference illustrates, we've built partnerships that are formed with U.S. suppliers linking with export customers. Now, the reason we're holding this conference is that we are confident that U.S. ethanol production will continue to rise. Supplies available for export will continue to grow. The latest figures show that 175 operating ethanol plants in the United States have a total production capacity of 10.6 billion gallons of ethanol per year, with 28 new plants under construction, additional capacity that will come online within the next 18 months equals 3 billion gallons per year. By comparison, in January of 2006, a total of 95 operating plants had a combined capacity of 43 billion gallons per year. So we have plenty of DDGs and plenty for export. With that in mind, I anticipate a couple of important topics that we will hear about here at this conference. Number one, DDGS and its value in all types of animal rations shows that U.S. grain producers have the capacity and the capability to produce for both food and fuel. One-third of the grain going into the ethanol plant comes back out as DDGS. In fact, the 4 million tons of DDGS we export from the U.S. this year, if we divided it equally among the livestock major food-producing sectors, we estimate that it will produce the following edible weights of food: 331,000 metric tons of chicken, nearly 5 billion eggs, almost 86,000 metric tons of beef, 1.8 million metric tons of milk, and 205,000 metric tons of pork. Topic number two, in each country, DDGS must meet all of the usual regulations that apply to all other feed ingredients. We find that governments are increasingly concerned about feed safety, including minimum residue levels that may impact animal health and/or human health. As a result, the U.S. Grains Council must continue to address these concerns in partnership with ethanol producers, quality control labs, and U.S. government officials. For example, recently the Canadian Food Inspection Agency indicated their intention to increase testing for residue levels and approved processing ingredients for DDGS made from fuel ethanol as separate from those made from beverage alcohol. In response, the U.S. Grains Council, working with the ethanol producers, the National Grain and Feed Industry, the U.S. Foreign Agricultural Service and the U.S. Embassy, and of course the Canadian Feed Inspection Agency, were able to help reduce their concerns about DDGS product quality, while at the same time harmonizing their quality control and inspection standards with the U.S. The result was that we avoided a sudden stoppage of exports of U.S. DDGs to Canada, which is on a trend to import about 680,000 metric tons this year. Topic number three. One of the main concerns of our DDGS export customers is the quality variability from one supplier to the next and from one shipment to the next. So the challenge is how can we help them know that within a 1% range what they will be getting so that they can better formulate their rations to maximize feed cost efficiency. And we do so this year, we do see this year a gradual move towards better and more consistent product quality among the major suppliers. Although standardization of DDGS in this industry is not likely with the advent of more fractionated products, we encourage suppliers to find ways to standardize their own products and reduce the variability wherever they can. As production and consumption of DDGS increases, it will be increasingly difficult for one origin supplier to fill an order for 10,000 metric tons or 30 or 50,000 metric tons in a month. Therefore, these larger shipments will combine the DDGS from a diversity of ethanol plants, so the better that the whole industry makes their products, the higher net price they can all receive in the bulk export market. Topic number four, although the growth in exports has been phenomenal so far, our work in increasing exports has just begun. Pro-Exporter projects that DDGS production will increase by an additional 5.5 million metric tons by this time next year, and by another 2.4 million tons by 2010, reaching a total output of 26 million metric tons per annum. Topic number five, we also see on the horizon new variations of distillers' grains becoming available, so fractionated products with enhanced nutritional profiles and specific feeding applications are on the way. These will be new products for our export customers to consider using, and much of the marketing process will have to begin again. The U.S. Grains Council has led the way in developing export markets for U.S. DDGs. We have seen great success as our overseas partners learn the value of DDGS in their own operations, and there is much yet to be done to press this agenda forward in both established and new markets. But I have no doubt that the partnerships that we have formed and will be formed will be equal to the task. I am looking very much forward to the discussions and the many topics that will be addressed at our conference today and tomorrow. And again, I want to welcome all of you on behalf of the U.S. Grains Council here today. Thank you.